Well, good morning, everyone. We are going to go through a little illustration, and if you notice in the song, a reoccurring theme about light, that's what we're going to kind of talk about this morning, hence the sermon title, You Are the Light of the World. So obviously, the bulletin was made previous to the emergency surgery, so you can kind of ignore the back of the bulletin, save that for next week. We're going to look at what it means to be the light of the world, and we're actually going to journey through John. So we're going to start with John chapter 1, right in the beginning. John 1:1 says this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." This first section here, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. You'll notice the W is capitalized. This is the name of Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. You skip down to verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, which we're going to experience in here in a little bit to a certain extent, but the darkness has not understood it. Whenever I think of that, like the darkness hasn't understood, I think of my own personal life. You know, when you're in a dark room and all of a sudden turns on the lights and you're like, oh, what is going on? That's your first question. Like, what is happening here? Like, and you get hit with that light. There's a reality that the darkness around us, darkness being a sinful world, doesn't understand it. And it wants to hide from it. It wants to get away from it because there's a bit of, oh, that hurts. But if you actually stop and let it, the light, be a part of your life, it has a huge impact, a huge impact. So we move on in this, and it says, "There came a man who was sent from God," speaking about John the Baptist. "His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." So we know a little bit about John the Baptist. Jesus' cousin was born about 9 months before Jesus, and he was a declaration that the Messiah is coming. He's coming. And the Pharisees, if you look and read through it, they're all confused. Like, John, what are you doing? What are you talking about? And John's rebuking the Pharisees, the religious leaders and stuff, and says, look, there's one coming, one of my favorite verse, that talks about he must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less. And so John's declaring to the people, repent, be baptized, be saved. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. And so he was a witness to the light. The true light that was going to give light to every man was coming into the world. And so John 1 starts out with just setting a stage for, look, we live in a dark world, but Jesus is going to be the light that is going to shine in and through us if we believe in him. If we believe in him. And so as we move on into John chapter 3, it's going to get a little darker in here. I'm going to ask Glenn, you can go ahead and dim the lights. Hopefully, you might not be able to see me, but that's okay. All right. So can you guys all see this pretty well? Okay. So we move to John chapter 3, and John chapter 3 is an interesting story in it about a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus being one of those Pharisees, one of those religious leaders. And he comes to Jesus at night, you know, because he doesn't necessarily want to be seen by the other religious leaders, but he's curious. He's like, yo, this guy is saying stuff. Jesus is saying stuff that is challenging. That is challenging us as leaders as the core and getting to the heart of who we are. And there's something about him that I need to talk to him. But I'm going to do it at night so that other people don't know. All right, so Nicodemus meets with Jesus. And a lot of you have heard this, the first verse here, John 3:16. This is Jesus talking just with Nicodemus. This is part of what he's talking about. And he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And then he goes on to say this: "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the light, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." So there's a bit of a conviction here, right? We feel it. We know things we want to do in the darkness, things that we don't want to expose, or man, if I confess to this or if I said this, how would people view me? Or, you know, we do all the mind juggling justification of why not to just come into the light, be right before God. Here's an example. I read this. I shared it with our life group on Wednesday. I saw this post on Facebook about, don't know if it's true or not, but you'll get the point, about this guy that was going through a McDonald's line, okay? And as he's going through the line, he's got a larger order, I can relate, and he's taking a while, and the guy behind him is getting irritated, and you can see him in the rearview mirror, like waving his hands, like, come on, come on, come on, beeped a couple times, like, let's go, because the other line was going. And so the guy that was the ordering pulled up to the first window, and he said, "Hey, I want to pay for the car that's behind me. I want to pay for whatever the guy behind me orders." And so he paid. He paid for the guy behind him that was just going like this and beeping his horn and just being kind of rude. And then he pulls up to the second window, holds up both receipts, and says, "Can I have both these orders, please?" So that the guy behind him would not get his order and have to go through the line again. All right, now let me ask you a question. When I first said, "Hey, I want to pay for this guy that's behind me," your hearts were what? You were like, "That is kind. That is going above and beyond and really showing forgiveness, humility, love, compassion." We sang, or we read, "Slow to anger, abounding in love." Okay? Then he pulls up to the second window. Where'd your heart go? "Yeah, that's right. Get him. That was a good one." Do you see the issue here? Do you see? Can you feel? Did you sense your heart? You see how quickly you went from Christ-honoring, loving, compassionate to an attitude of, "You get what you deserve, buddy." From one window to the next, your hearts went from here to here in a story. This is what we wrestle with day in and day out. It is not easy. And we can, in one story, go from an attitude of grace and love and compassion, just like Jesus, to a heart of cruelty and meanness, and have a thought of, "Yeah, that's great, get him back." In one little story, your heart swung. We need to be aware of that in our everyday, moment-by-moment lives, how quickly our hearts can revert to the darkness. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Verse 19 again. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Until we're free of this flesh, we will struggle with that. But praise be to God. For those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he is moving and active, which is what we're gonna go into next. Can you pull up the next one? All right, so when Jesus spoke, this is later on in chapter 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we were singing, can you put up the words? I'm going to put you on the spot, Paul. Can you put up the words for Great Are You, Lord? So we were singing this, and obviously when you're singing and you've thought through a sermon and you're like, the songs bring a whole new aspect to it. You give life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. Okay? I want you to remember that. You give life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. Okay, I want you to remember that verse right there. All right, you can go back to the verse. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All right, so in this room right now was something that wasn't here last week other than this. All right? And it has so much light potential, but it has no source. And it's been in your visual sight the whole time. The whole time. It's actually like 3 feet long, something like that. And it's been right up here. How many people noticed it? Okay, we got 2 people that noticed it. So if this would have been plugged in, would you have noticed it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think everyone here would have been like, oh, there's a light kind of on a vertical. That's kind of weird. Okay? So as we think about this being us, it is in the darkness. It is made to do what? It is made to shine. It is made to produce light. Okay? We were created in his image. And he wants to be in a restored relationship with us. And sin prohibits that. So until we accept Jesus as our Savior, we don't have access to God the Father. And this is what Nicodemus and Jesus were talking about. Nicodemus was like, he talks about being born again. And Jesus is like, yeah, you have to be born again. And Jesus is like, or Nicodemus is like, wait, what? I can't go back into my mother's womb. He's like, no, you're thinking physically again. I'm talking spiritually. You need to be born again spiritually. And so when we accept Jesus as our Savior, there's something that is pretty crazy that happens in our lives that we don't know it until that moment. And then it's like when he starts moving in and through us, amazing things start happening in our life. Now, I can assure you that this is not a trick. This is just energy doing its thing. I don't know the ins and outs of it. Mr. Reinhardt from Loyal Sock High School posted it on Facebook. We're coaches together in track, and so I was like, oh, that's a good illustration, right? God wants to move in and through us. He wants his power at work within us. If we are not in his presence, if we are not following him, we will go from a place of love and compassion to a place of hatred. And that's not what we were created for. We were created to be a light. We were created to be a light. Can you pull up the last verse there? Oh, sorry, of the scripture, Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There's an interesting thing about this illustration. You see, because right now the whole light is lit. But if I take my hand and I go like this, am I a light to the world? There's a lot of different perspectives out there as if they want to define that. This is what I talk about for us as believers. Those who have accepted Christ, there's a reality that are we being used to our full potential? Are we limiting what God wants to do in and through us? If so, what is it? What is hindering us from sliding our hands out of the way so that God can be in control of every aspect of our lives? Every single aspect. So that the world, the dark world around us, can see the light. They might be confused and they might turn their heads and be like, oh, that's really bright. But there are ones out there that want to see it. They want to experience it. They want to be a light, and God has called them to be lights. But God is using us to do that. He wants to use you to do that. Paul, can you go back to that first verse? Now I want you to think about this again. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. That second line there says, you bring light. How does he bring light? Through us. You give life, you are love, you bring light through us to the darkness. Do you realize the privilege that is? That God has asked you to be a light in the darkness? That like everyone would see, the minute I touched that to that, you could hear the, oh wow, yeah, you know. No one thought that was going to happen. I saw it, I'm like, that's not going to happen. What's the trick? There is no trick. I'm just the ground. The energy is going through there, and it's lighting up whatever's in there. I don't understand how it all works sometimes. And that's what it is with God. We don't have to understand necessarily all the time how things work. Just trust and have faith and believe in him. Listen to the Holy Spirit within you. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he says, hey, Steve, there's areas of your lives that you need to deal with, that you need to bring into the light. You need to confess. You need to be have a little bit of better attitude, more like the first window, not the second window. May we not be light bulbs sitting off to the side, not doing what we were created for. If anyone here this morning has never experienced that, what it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come and talk to me afterwards. I would love to talk to you and pray with you about it. If you're here this morning and you just, maybe you feel like you're off to the distance or you're feeling like this, talk to each other. Talk to the body of Christ. Work together. That's what we're here to do. Help each other. Hold each other accountable. Confess to one another so that you may be healed. Evaluate, think about where you're at. Because the minute we stop thinking, we'll find ourselves just like that at McDonald's, where we're just caught up in the moment and we lose that compassion and love and we move right toward the sin. Evaluate yourself. Think about where you are. How am I doing with the light of the world? Is it dwelling within me and can the world around me see it? One more thing I want to challenge you with. Who? Who has God put into your life that is walking in darkness, that needs to see the good deeds and come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Can you put the Matthew 5? Do you see that last part there? In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Yes, we need to be able to articulate it, but like James says, faith without deeds is dead. Who has God put into your life that needs to experience Jesus in you? Let's pray.